Jesus said, "Do you not say it is still 4 months until the harvest time comes? Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting." We live in a universe of abundance. That's what the Master is trying to tell us. We live in it now. We are not waiting for God's kingdom to come. God's kingdom is at hand, awaiting our recognition. Because God is omni or everywhere present, which means good is everywhere present. Divine love is everywhere present and available. Divine guidance and inspiration are everywhere present and available. All that God has and is everywhere present and available to us right now, at this very moment, in this very place. As John tried to explain in the opening words of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and that creative Word of God is what created all things. There is nothing in this world, in this universe, that was not created without it. That means this world and everything in it is really God in expression. The Creator's creations manifest. So there is abundance all around us. The source of all things is always available to us. The Creator of all things is here with us today. When Jesus told us that when we pray, believing we have received, we will receive, he wasn't saying, if you believe it, it'll somehow make it so. That doesn't make any sense. What he was saying is, it is so. Believe it. But we don't. So often we have trouble believing it. In the words of the character Auntie Ming, life is a banquet and most poor SOBs, I changed the word a little bit, are starving to death. Life is a banquet. And if it doesn't seem so, if it doesn't seem that we truly live in a universe of abundance, if it seems instead that we're starving to death, that we live in a world of lack and limitation, well, the reason why I experience the appearance of lack and limitation in the midst of God's abundance generally boils down to one thing. We have yet to really grasp the meaning of the 10th commandment. I'm sure you all remember the 10th commandment. I know you've all read Leviticus recently and Exodus, but in case one of you hasn't, I'll read it for you. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's manservant, your neighbor's maidservant, your neighbor's ox, your neighbor's donkey, or anything that is your neighbor. I think that goes for husband as well as wife, by the way. You shall not covet anything whatsoever that belongs to your neighbor. We don't always realize we're coveting when we do. But we do it all the time. Let me paint you a picture. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Back when I was at Unity Village, going to school more than 40 years ago, and for 40 years before that, Unity Village had a huge apple orchard. At one time, they called it Unity Farm. And they had quite a farm there. But they had an enormous apple orchard, and they used to sell apples and make apple cider. By the way, you never want to see them press the apples. Just buy the cider, it's delicious. You don't want to see how they make it. Apple cider is kind of like sausage. It's better if you don't watch it make it. But anyway, they had delicious apple cider. They had apple butter. Once a year, there were just apples everywhere at Unity. And I remember walking through those orchards when it was harvest time. And everywhere you looked, there were just trees, just full and full of apples. And so I want you to close your eyes and try to picture that kind of scene. Picture yourself strolling through an apple orchard. And there are just apples everywhere. Everywhere you look, there are trees just weighed down with apples because it's harvest time. The branch is so weighed down, it's as though they're dipping low just to hand you an apple. And you look around you, and in every direction, there are apple trees just full of apples for the picking as far as the eye can see. And you look at the base of a tree near you, and there's a bushel basket there, and it is already filled to overflowing with freshly picked apples. They are the biggest, reddest, juiciest looking apples you've ever seen in your life. And as you look about, you see similar overflowing baskets of freshly picked apples everywhere. And as you're taking all this in, you look up and you see a man approaching you. And he has something in his hand. And as he gets closer, you realize it's an apple. And he's eating it. You can hear him munching on the apple. That crunch, that sound it makes when you bite into an apple. And you can see from the expression on his face, it's just delicious. And it's so juicy, the juice is just dripping down his chin. And with a big smile on his face, he says, "These apples are wonderful and they're free. You can have all the apples you want. As many as you can eat or carry." And you reply, "But I wanted the one you're eating. You've got the apple I wanted." That sounds silly, but that's just what we do, and we do it all the time. What happens is we see something someone else has that we desire, and we act like that's the only one. If they've got it, there's none left. In the words of the old song, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you." But the way a lot of us seem to hear it is, it is no secret what God can do. If he's done for others, there's none left for you. No. What God's done for others, God can and will do for you. That's the message of the 10th commandment. That's what it's trying to get through our heads. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting things per se, or even having what someone else has awaken that desire in us. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to understand what that desire is really all about. As is so often the case, I think the Unity classic, Lessons in Truth by Emily Cady, explains it best to me. In the chapter on faith, Katie writes, "Asking, Jesus said, ask and receive. And asking springs from desire, the desire to possess something, some good. And what is desire? Desire in the heart is always God tapping at the door of your consciousness with God's infinite supply, a supply which is forever useless unless there be a demand for it. Before they call, I will answer, saith the Lord. Before ever you are conscious of any lack, any desire for more happiness, for fullness of joy, the great father-mother heart has desired them for you. And it is only God desiring them in you that you feel and think it is only yourself, separate from God, desiring them. With God, the desire to give and the gift are one and the same thing. She goes on, you think that you want better health, more love, a brighter, more cheerful home, all of your very own. In short, you want less evil, actually no evil, and more good in your life. And this is only God pushing at the inner door of your being, saying, my child, let me in. I want to give you all good, that you may be more comfortable and happy. Again from Scripture, behold, my servant shall eat. Behold, my servant shall drink. Behold, my servant shall build houses and inhabit them. Behold, my servant shall rejoice and sing for joy of heart. But, she writes, one asks, suppose I desire my neighbor's wife or his property. Is that desire born of God? Can I see it fulfilled by affirming that it is mine? Katie writes, you do not and cannot by any possibility really desire that which belongs to another. You do not desire your neighbor's wife. You desire the love which seems to you to be represented by your neighbor's wife. You desire something to fill your heart's craving for love. Affirm that there is for you a rightful and an overflowing supply, and claim its manifestation. It will surely come, and your seeming desire to possess your neighbor's wife will surely disappear. So you do not in reality desire anything that belongs to your neighbor. You want the equivalent of that for which his possessions stand. You want your own. There is today an unlimited supply of all good provided in the unseen for every human being. No one must needs have less than another may have more. Your very own awaits you, and your understanding, faith, or trust are the power which will bring it to you. If you take someone out to dinner, and she says, I think I'll have a steak, to the waiter. You don't complain. I wanted steak. Now there's none for me. No, you say, I'll have what she's having. That's what you say. And you get to have it cooked the way you like. Maybe she likes it medium well and you like it medium rare. Maybe she asks for a baked potato and you want fries or a salad. Fries, probably. In other words, you get to have your own. Because when you say, I'll have what she ordered, you don't mean you're going to have actually what she ordered. You're not going to get her plate away from her. No, they're going to make up one that's just for you and cook it just the way you like it. And God's resources are unlimited. There's nothing they ever run out of on God's menu. When you see something that someone else has, and it awakens a desire, a hunger in you, don't envy them or covet what's theirs. Instead, silently thank them Thank them for showing you something that's on God's menu. Something that triggers something in you that tells you you're going to have what they ordered. Silently, if you will, sing that song to yourself, the refrain. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for me. Thank them for showing you what's possible and knowing, helping you to know that there's one waiting for you as well. You know, whenever we believe in lack and limitation, if you really think about it, what we're actually saying is, I don't believe God is omnipresent. Which is another way of saying, I don't believe God is present. I may say I believe in God, but not in my business affairs, not in my finances, not in my relationships, not in my health. God just isn't present there. In other words, as far as I'm concerned, in the parts of my life that are actually most important to me, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. That's what we're really saying when we affirm a belief in loss and lack and limitation. The message of Scripture is pretty simple. The message of Jesus Christ is pretty simple. The message of unity is pretty simple. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe that wherever you are, God is. Believe in God and in God's infinite abundance. God's omnipresent abundance. Believe what God has done for others. God is ready and eager to do just for you. Next Sunday will be my last Sunday here with you as pastor of First Unity Church. The last of a little over 1,000 Sundays we've shared. It's been that many. There are people in this room that have heard 1,000 of my sermons and they're still here. Isn't that amazing? And I don't think it's just because they fell asleep and didn't wake up from the first one. I saw them go home and come back. Two weeks from today, Jan's going to take over as your pastor. And I know you're going to show her the same respect and support and love that you've shown me. And I know she will love you as I have loved you all these years. I didn't spend all those years going without my salary because I didn't like you. Or because you weren't important to me. And I will really miss you. And I'm sure you'll miss me and miss the way I did it these last 20 years. But there's something you have to keep remembering. Jan and I are just the most recent in a long line of laborers in God's orchard that have served here at First Unity. A line that stretches back over 90 years and will stretch forward into the future further than that. Because First Unity has just gotten started. We have far to go. It has been my joy to be with you for the rides this far. Jan, it will be her joy to take you a little further than I could. And there will be others that will follow Jan. But our mission, Jan's and mine, and all that came before us, and all who will follow, and for that matter, Jesus Christ, isn't to be the person in the orchard that shows you his apple, or even offers you a bite of it. We will, of course, share what we have picked from God's orchard. But you know, one apple, no matter how fat and juicy, can't feed many people. No, what Jan and I and even Jesus Christ came to do is to show you there are apples here. The fruits of spirit are all around you, just waiting to be discovered. There is abundance available to you now and always and everywhere. Our goal is like the goal of the man in that picture I painted for you, is to get you to know the apples are so tasty. And there are plenty. And they are free. God's free gift to each and every one of you. And there are some that are just for you. That are just for you. Waiting to be picked. Let's embrace God's abundance in prayer now.